as I get into this, I did see what Linda had shared with him a few weeks back, probably Father's Day-ish, I think, middle of June. And I had gotten something similar. So I asked her about it, and we kind of chatted about it, and we decided we had to do this. There was no way around it. So I'm starting because there's a few things that I have been dealing with. I have had two recurring dreams and then one recurring thought or feeling in my spirit. So I wanted to address that thought or feeling. And it's been a while since I've been up here. Part of that is I'm busy, but that should not be an excuse, correct? The repeating inner dialogue that I've had going through my head is that I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified. I'm not educated on this. I don't have it all figured out. And I think I've missed it before. I'll be honest. And as I was thinking about that and just kind of meditating on it, I had a revelation. Some of you have probably already had this revelation. But I'm not. I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified. I'm not educated. And that's okay, because it's the one who's inside of me is the one who qualifies, is the one who is good enough, is the one who directs, is the one who will guide my path. Having it all figured out is not what he's called me to do. He's called me to be obedient and to walk in that obedience, and he will give me the grace when I mess up and when I miss it. So having it all figured out, that's not for me to work through. That's for him. And some scripture to back that up, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And then Psalm 139:14, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." So if I am in Christ's creation, I am in Christ. We are all in Christ. So those negative, self-defeating thoughts, self-defeating feelings, those are null and void. My thoughts should be his thoughts. My feelings need to be his feelings. My soul knows all of these things, but it's my head that needs to catch up. How many of you are like that? So Colossians 3:2, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." And those were all in the New King James Version. So that's why it's been a while. But what Linda and I didn't know we connected on. So I've had two recurring dreams. One of them has been years, if not decades, that I've had. And the other one is more recent, probably within the last 6 to 9 months or so. So the first recurring dream, which is where we connected, was I have had dreams about being in church, about the church building, the property, and storms are approaching. We've had a lot of storms this spring. We're up for it again today and tomorrow. In several of those dreams, I have either been inside or I have been standing outside. And one specifically, I'll get to that. But I've been watching the storms approach from the west. See it rolling in, see the clouds, see the rain, see the wind. In all of that, Linda asked me if I've ever been afraid. I have never been afraid. And I didn't realize that until she asked me about that. I don't know why I'm not afraid. Storms fascinate me. So maybe that's why I'm not afraid. But I've never been afraid in any of these dreams. Even like for the church building itself, like the possibility of losing it or significant destruction or anything like that. I've never had that fear that we could lose what's on this property. In the most recent dream, and I've only had it once, but it was significant, I was standing outside one of these doors, and I don't know for sure if it was right off the sanctuary or if it was the hall just past the men's bathroom, but outside one of those doors, I can see there is a tornado on the ground approaching the building from the west, coming across the field, and we were going to take a direct hit. Unfortunately, I woke up before it finished, so maybe that's good, maybe that's bad, I don't know. But initially, I didn't think much of it because, like I said, storms just intrigue me. I'm a storm junkie. I will watch disaster movies on repeat. I will live streams, storm chasers, all of it. I'll probably be watching it this afternoon. So I didn't think anything of it. And then as I just kind of meditated on it and just kind of thought about it and like, God, what is this about? Just kind of forgot about it after a while. So then the storms this spring, we had the damage to the roof in the back and the portico out here. That wasn't even a storm. That was like a wind, like a significant wind event. But after that, the kids and I, watching on radar from home, from the safety of our home, I'm not going to take my kids out storm chasing. We have watched on radar storm cell after storm cell producing rotation coming over the building, coming over the property. And as far as we know, not one has touched down, a tornado hasn't touched down or anything like that. But I wanted to bring up, this morning he's my dad. So my dad had shared some pictures with us. And if you want to bring those pictures up, if you can. So in this first picture, this was taken, I think, April 15th. So this was when they delivered all of the pallets, all of the roofing material, everything was set to go. We were just waiting for them to start. And then if you want to just kind of flip through the next few. This was April 18th, after the storm that came through on April 17th, and Janesville was significantly hit. If you want to go to the next one. Yeah, I mean, that's roofing material. You know, they're pretty heavy. And then the next one. Now, I am not trained in any of that. I can't say for sure that was a tornado or sheer wind or downdraft or whatever. But that could have hit the building. We could have sustained damage in the sanctuary or to the propane tank. And we would have been probably back at square one working with insurance. Where do we go from here? So Pastor Tim had shared a message on April 19th, and all of that brought that dream back to mind. I knew there was a message in there somewhere. I just didn't know what it was. So I sat on it. To me, that was the disobedience. I sat on it. I did start jotting down notes, just trying to understand what it all meant. I still didn't know what the dream meant, so I didn't feel like I had the right to share it because I didn't have it all figured out. So I chose to stay silent. So every week since April 19th up until Father's Day, I have been convicted. I have been convicted every single week coming to church. And I think I only missed one Sunday in there. So on Father's Day, it's Father's Day. How could God convict me of anything on Father's Day, right? Oh, no. That was when Linda had shared that song that she had received, and we both had received In the Eye of the Storm by Ray Stevens, I think. I was thinking, there's two different versions. I was thinking of the radio version. I'm not 100% sure which one you had shared. So I was closing things down, and I saw it. I'm like, darn it, Lord. I was hoping I would get by today. I didn't. So I asked him about it, later that day or maybe even after service, after everybody had left. And he had mentioned that Linda had sent it to him and that she had received a word. And he might have even said that the group that prays had received this word. So the next Sunday, Nate was here. So I'm like, all right, all week, from Father's Day to the week that Nate was here, I'm like, all right, I got to talk to Linda. I got to figure out what's going on. So I talked to Linda. We shared a little bit about what each of us had. And then that's when I realized that understanding the meaning of what I had wasn't necessarily for me to figure out. And I put this in my notes. Did I miss something because I wasn't immediately obedient? Maybe. It's possible. Is God using our gifts in coordination? Absolutely. So, Linda and I have met a few times and we've gone over what they received and what I had and just kind of like how we were going to do it and just kind of bouncing things off of each other. So, getting back to my dream, tornadoes and storms bring chaos and destruction. Even with all of the imagery that we have, the radar, the knowledge that meteorologists have about storm, how they initiate and how they travel and things like that, they still cannot tell us if a storm is going to develop. They can tell us the conditions are favorable, but they can't tell us if a storm is absolutely going to develop, if a tornado is going to develop, how big it's going to be, or how far it's going to travel. This week has been the perfect example of that. And we've had several times, not just this week. But Monday, we were, I think, in a slight risk for severe weather. Nothing here materialized. Today, we're in an enhanced risk of severe weather. And tomorrow, we're back in a slight risk. But there's no guarantee that those storms are going to hit. So, although tornadoes and storms bring destruction, they also bring new life. They turn up the soil, they clear out old vegetation, they actually create space for plants to grow, maybe plants that haven't seen the sun or rain for a while. Storms can clear that out so that new vegetation can start growing, and it creates new cover and habitats for the animals. Dreams about tornadoes can indicate a time of immense stress or anxiety or feelings of losing control. That is not what I felt. But they can also represent an upcoming change, growth, or new beginning. Which goes back to my first point. So, the second recurring dream I've had is dreams about being pregnant or giving birth. I am not. I saw that smile. I am not. And I'm not sure I would understand God's humor if that happened at this point. So, pregnancy and birth means new life. Seasons changing means new growth and new life. I've sometimes struggled with the way things are, and I think I've mentioned that before. I miss the live worship. I do. I miss the small group meetings that we had. Even some of you might remember the praise and new wine services that we had, I think once a month, when we first started coming here. And then something that occurred to me this week is, does anybody remember the March for Jesus rallies that we had downtown, walking down Main Street? I miss that. I think it was a time of bringing our bodies together and moving together for the same end, which was just being out there and spreading the gospel, but we were all doing it together. We weren't individual churches. One thing through this that God has shown me is that it's okay to miss the way things were, but we can't stay there. We can look back. We can remember, but we need to keep moving forward. As things change, there's a certain level of grieving that we go through. And our church as a whole, as a body, has experienced a lot over the last few years with losses, circumstances changing, whatever that may be. So as we move through that stage of grieving, we have to be on the lookout for what's coming. What's the new thing that God wants to do in our life? In Isaiah 43:18-19, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. When we're walking through storms, when we're walking through those trials and those tough times in our life, it can be easy to feel defeated. We can't see to the other side. We're in the moment. We are living through a storm. One thing that we can hold on to is that God is in the storm with us. He's not going to leave us. He is going to walk right beside us and guide us through to the other side. And there's a song we're going to play in a little bit. It says, I will praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And that's the song by Casting Crowns. In Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In Psalm 62:8, it says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He wants to take our storm, and he wants to bear the burden of that. He wants to walk with us through those storms, and he wants to, again, see us get to the other side. As we come out on the other side of our storm, we can be thankful for what we've come through, and we can be excited for what's coming next, something new. It's not like when your kids or grandkids get something new at Christmas or birthday or whatever, and they play with it for, 2 days, and then it's forgotten in the basement. Or when we're going through life, maybe life is easy at the moment. Maybe there are distractions that are sidetracking us from our walk. It can sometimes be easy to forget the little things that God is doing for us as we go along our walk. But that's when, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can sense it. When things are just going too good, or I'm just too distracted, or I realize at some point that I haven't been spending enough time with him, singing praise and worship or reading or whatever it may be. That's when I realize I need to press in, I need to pray, I need to grieve if that's what I need to do, celebrate if that's what it is. But then I have to remember that there's something better on the other side. And that's where he wants to get me. That's where he wants to see me at. So I would like to have Linda share what she has. And then I want to share that song. I want to just play that song. And then I have some closing thoughts that I received this morning. So if you want to come.
Well, I found out what connects us. Can you hear me? Thank you. Remind me if I bring it down. Storms. You'll get it later. I've received a word from the Lord. It's an old word that in 2024, when we first had our first prayer meetings, and then in again, the same scriptures that I'm going to read to you is also came back in 26. So I got it two times. And on the second time I went, duh, you got to share it with the church. So this is, I'm going to eventually read it to you. Okay, so I have a duty. Last night the Lord gave me a list, so you have to bear with me. Go forth and release the word in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen Amen. Doubt not and rejoice in the name of Jesus. Doubt not and rejoice. All will be well. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It does not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I have a word to share, and I told you about that. Let's see. So another thing that he reminded me of and told me to say is that I release this word. I release it in the name of Jesus. So I just lift up my hands and I say, Lord, we just release this word, and that you bless it, Lord, and bring it to fruition. You had a plan and a purpose for this today, and I just thank you for that. Okay, the Lord is saying, the evil one does not want my loved ones to get close to me. God wants us to know we are in a massive warfare, spiritually speaking. And when we find ourselves in the thick of this battle, he wants us to call upon his name. He is saying, the instant we say, help me, Jesus, the battle becomes his. God is saying, simply trust me, and the battle becomes mine, and I will fight for you. My name, properly used, has unlimited power to protect and to deliver and to bless. Exodus 23:22. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So whatever God is going to do, it's going to be something big. And so, yes, we come together in storms. I have copies of this word, by the way, so that you can take it home, because I believe it's meant to be warfare.
One thing, when Linda and I had met, we've met the past couple of Wednesdays, and this past Wednesday, one thing that really jumped out at me was, my name, properly used, has unlimited power to bless and protect you. It's a good word, but that's what I took away from it. Although we had both received the song In the Eye of the Storm, I had received another one while I was just kind of going through it again. And I want to go ahead and play that now. We're not putting words on the screen, because I just want you to sit and soak. Just listen. Let it minister to you if that's what you need. And then I'll have some just kind of ending thoughts and some verses to end out. And then if Pastor Tim wants to take it over after that, he can. I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry, you raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the storm rolls in, as the thunder rolls, barely above the wind, you can hear his whisper, I'm with you. He'll always be with us. And to just kind of sum it all up, some of this is repetitive, but I thought it was important to repeat. So in the physical realm, we sometimes can see storms coming as they've been forecasted. We can see them coming across the map. We can see them coming across the field. Sometimes they will hit us with all their force. Sometimes they will fall apart before reaching the area. And sometimes they can develop without warning. There's a YouTuber that I watch who says that you got to watch out for the blips, the storms that just all of a sudden come up and they start out as just this little storm. Those are the ones you got to watch out for. I think it's the same in our spiritual lives and in our lives. Sometimes we can see the warning. Sometimes we can see it coming. Sometimes things just happen. The storm starts out maybe as a little blip, and then it hits us with full force. How are you going to weather your storms? For me, I want to press in. I want to pray. Grieve if I have to. But I know that there is something better on the other side. I just have to get there. And I was going to end with Psalm 34:1, but as I was going through it this morning, I picked out some additional verses from Psalm 34. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. In 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. In 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And then finally in 22, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned.
Thank you so much. Very good, ladies. Very, very, very good. Thank you, Father. What a word. Amen. You know, God has left us much in his word in regards to storms and how he deals with them. And I appreciate it because storms are good. You know, I've done things in the past where you look at it and I had a word that God had given me sometime, many. Remember now, I started as the pastor in the pulpit here in 2006, so it's 20 years. And early on, maybe it was before 2006, but I was impressed by God. I heard the word vortex many years ago, 20, 25 years ago, vortex. And that's what you talk about in tornadoes, there's a vortex. And so I did some studies on that and whatnot. And you look at that of hurricanes and the wind. But like Heather had shared, a lot of that you find out is that it brings in new stuff. Tornadoes, things of that nature, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the air quality and things. And boy, do we know we need air quality change, huh? But all of that is good. It brings up new fresh air, but it's a storm that brings it, and it's whether how we weather that storm, whether we cast all doubts and apprehensions, like oh we're doomed and gloomed, it's not going to get any better, or we need to look at it as this is something that God could use, will use, is using. We don't know, right? We don't know, but with our trust and faith in God. I want to default to God knows all, and God knows the betterment. And so we remember these stories, and just quickly, you don't need to open up to them. But in Matthew, remember they talked about Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. An important part. We need to follow Jesus. Is Jesus in your boat? Remember, I think when we started out this year, I had a picture up there launching out into the deep with that of Jesus. Where we've gone through things in the past, nothing worked, or it didn't happen, or it wasn't at that time the right time. But Jesus got into that boat with those fishermen and said, no, launch out again to the deep. Here's a year, I believe, in 2026 that was for us, or maybe not for you, but just for me. I don't know. I share it, and I hope you can take a little bit of it and put it into your life, that we all need to launch out into the deep with God in our life every day. Every day, not just once a month, one time out of the year, but we need to go fishing with Jesus every day. And he's going to take us back where we were at and we thought it was a failure, or we thought there was nothing there. And he may take you back to that place and say, no, now go with me in your boat and see what will happen. So now he's in this boat, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, and so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. What a follower to follow, that of Jesus, like in the midst of a storm when the waves are coming over your boat, that your master is fast asleep, not worried. I think he wants us to be that same way. Don't worry. It's okay. This too, what shall pass? For I'm with you. If I be for you, who can be against you? If I'm with you, how can this storm, how can these waves, how can whatever overcome you and take away the things that I have for you? So the disciples come to him and awaken him, and they speak like many of us would, Lord, save us. We're perishing. Well, were they perishing? The waves were coming over the boat, but these were seasoned people, and those in that boat knew about waves. And yes, we would probably look at it saying, this does not look good. But Jesus answers, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? He arose, Jesus got up, rebuked the winds and the seas of the seas, and there was a great calm. We've got to allow that to come into our lives. We've got to allow that to come into our church, into our homes, into our families, into us individually, to bring that calmness within you. Whatever that storm is, sometimes it's a corporate storm, sometimes it's an individual storm that you're going to deal with. I love it when it's corporate, because guess what? We all get to join in with it and be partakers of it. Do you guys want to partake with me in a storm? Come on, I'm taking off. Come on, rise up, let's go. What's the storm going to be? I don't know. But I know it'll be good if God's in it. And I believe everything that's going to take place, God already knows it and has it planned out. We just have to be obedient to do these things. In Mark, it says the same thing, but it gives a little bit more description. On that same day, when the evening had come, he had said to them, let's cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, this was after the marvelous of feeding of the fish and the loaves. When they had left the multitude, they took him along to the boat, and he said, and as he was, and other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm. See, this is talking about, we always think it's like one boat out there, but there was an armada or something, because it said, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. You're the little boat. We're the little boat. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat against the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was here again in the stern, asleep on the pillow. And they awoken him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and he rebuked the wind. We know the story, peace be still. The wind ceased, and then there's a great calm. Sometimes you don't know the great calm until you've had a great storm. If you're always in calm times, you never know about Jesus. You never know about the power of God, because everything's calm. Everything is easy peasy, right? It's only when we're into these times of storms and things that are seemingly what we think upheaval, that we then cry out to God, like those disciples, "Oh God, where are you during this time and event in my life?" And he would probably, as a child and a follower of his, he would say, "Tim, I've been with you even through the storm. I've been with you before it happened, during it, and I'm going to be with you after it." Do you find that encouraging? Do you find there's comfort in that, to know that he is there with us always? Well, his word tells us, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." I mean, God's word is so rich in simple little phraseologies, but they're more than just phrases. There's more to them than just words on a page. You know what they are? They're God's word. God's word has that power, has that sustaining ability to not change, to not waver, to not get weaker. I think sometimes God's word is powerful, but it gets more powerful in the storm. For us anyway, when we see it. I think it's the same power. Because he says, "I change not." It is what it is. But he does have that degree of how he can exert that power or that peace or that calmness into your situation. And then one other reading, you can go to Luke. "Now it happened on a certain day that he got into the boat." Now, you get the mark. Remember, there was more than their boat out there. Now, do you think that if Jesus calmed the water for them, did it not calm for the others that were probably beside them? It doesn't say, I don't think, but I would tend to believe possibly they were experiencing the storm just like that boat was experiencing the storm. And when Jesus calmed the waves in this area, he calmed it on the entirety of the sea. I think that's where we can pray for a church body. We can pray for a corporate of the church where this part is going through a storm and this one is and this one. Then we can cry out and pray and say, "Lord, bring peace and tranquility to Harvester's Church or to the body of Christ or to our nation or to whatever it is that God is capable and more than able to do that. What he's done for one, he'll do for all. Now it happened on this certain day. It's a certain day. Is there a storm in your life that's a certain day? A certain storm? He got into the boat with his disciples. He says, "Let us cross over again to the other side." Pretty consistent there. And as they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. Windstorms came down on the lake and they were filling with water and they were in jeopardy. Jeopardy, danger. They were in danger. And they came to him and they awoken him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." He rose up and he rebuked the wind and the raging of that of the water. And that ceased. And then there was a calm. But he always has this question to them. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? I would ask that today to you if you're in a storm and you're tossed to and fro and you're running, is like, where is your faith? You know, we as the church body here and Harvesters, it's been planted out here since about 85 in this building, and we've gone through a lot of storms, had a lot of things happen. If our brother Dan was here today, he could allude to a lot of them. But the ship is still upright. The ship is still sailing. There's an old gospel hymn about that, the old ship, and how true it is. And so when God has a plan and he's got the desire for it to fulfill his ultimate plan, I just want to be part of that plan. How about you? And I want to be where he wants me to be, when he wants me to be there, doing what he wants me to do, and to be obedient, be patient, and be of faith that things will happen according to his schedule. And so I think that speaks highly, Linda and Heather, and to the prayer group that gets together as we see things and the storms and the tornadoes and the winds. I mean, I could not believe it at times when we had the roof disarrayed and these storms were coming one after the other, because the wind blew off the roof on this side March 13th, and it wasn't repaired until, like, I don't know, May or something. It was crazy. But every storm that came through, oh my, I would wake up. Now, gosh, I got to be honest. Did I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning when I heard the winds a-howling outside and my wind chimes tinkling out there? It's like, oh, there's a storm. Oh, there's a wind. And I would have to do what? Dear Lord, you know the situation of our roof out there. It's held on with baling wire. You know, well, maybe some nails. But it's patched, Lord. It's patched. They can't get to it until they have like 5 days of good weather to tear it off and redo it. And then, God bless Heather, you know, there's times she'd send a text on her thing to us and say, well, there's a tornado funnel cloud just west of the church. I'm sitting at home going, okay, Lord, whatever, whatever, it's yours. Protect the church, take the church, do whatever with the church, Lord, it's yours. And then there'd be another storm. Oh, there's a touchdown now just northwest of the church out on Avalon or out on the road, and there's a house. You go up here on Tracy, whatever, Hanover Road, I think it is, Hanover Footville, and you go out there a ways, and there's a house that's got the roof off, and it's destroyed, and they have to rebuild it and all the things like that. Also, during that storm, there was a fire out there. I think it got a house got hit by lightning, and I think you can see that where a house has damage. But that was like in, to me, that was in our proximity of where we're at out here. And I'm listening to the scanner, and I'm listening to this and that, and I'm looking at the text that Heather's feeding me because she's a weather junkie. She travels and she watches these things. But the storms that have come across, and many of our community have dealt with them, and we know what the violence can do, but we have to trust God. And if things get tore up, we have to trust God that things get put back in place. Now, that's in the material things. But what about in the spiritual realm? You know, as the devil may want to destroy and come against the things of what God's kingdom is, I'm not too worried because God is a bigger God than the devil is. And the power that God has will overpower anything that the devil tries. But the way the devil will get to that is through you, us the individuals, to try to get us into that type of a concern. But that's where the church body can come even stronger, to where we join together in one likeness of that of faith and believing and trusting that we can beat up on the devil and that what the devil has planned will not come about. And that's corporately, and I think we need to look at that in our families and individual situations. But, be alert. Because doesn't God's word tell us? Be alert, for the devil is out there seeking who he can steal from, kill, destroy. So he's out there. I'm not denying that. And so we got to be on our guard, but we're on our guard with that of God on our side. And I think God will prompt us through that of the Spirit, and he might prompt you, start praying, right? Start being paying attention. Be alert. Like we've had on Thursdays, being watchmen, watching what is happening. And I think as a child of God in our spiritual realm, that's like Linda says, it's in the spiritual realm, but that's where we do the battle, and that's where we are filled with that of the Holy Spirit in the spiritual realm to be alert to these things, to pray for these things. And I believe there's some things that God has, I'm not going to get into it, but how God has prepared me to what's coming down the pike for particular things here at the church, that gives me the opportunity to pray, and that I believe they don't come about. And that's what he does. He gives us, as a child of God, he sends out an alert. If you're sensitive, listening in the Spirit, to give you a warning, right? And so it's advantageous for us to be listening with our spiritual ears and to never take one day without having your ear, spiritual ear, tuned to God to protect you. It could be driving your car, and he might say, make a right here and go this way. I never go this way, but you turn a right and you go that way. And we've heard testimonies where I'm glad I did because this happened or that happened or this situation developed. That is God guiding you from danger. Isn't that awesome? But that's because he loves us so much. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message of today. I thank you for what you instilled upon that of Linda and for that of Heather, and how the message came together and the songs that were chosen. And even though the storms come and the storms go, and we're in a storm, You're always with us. And I thank you, Lord, that you are going to continue to drop in more nuggets of the spiritual realm into things in the spirit into this body through the people here as they are listening and go to prayer and have their prayer times. And I just pray, Lord, that as they receive these and that it begins to formulate and that, Lord, you will connect the dots like you did with that of Linda and Heather and that it'll come together and we will have a message and we will hear. We will be on alert. We will be on alert. And that as we come through these storms and through these battles, or the battle or the storm doesn't even touch us, we praise you and give you the glory. Jesus, hallelujah, for protecting us, your children. Thank you, Father. I ask a special blessing on Linda and Heather as they were obedient handmaidens of yours, Lord. Bless them richly, richly, Father God, into their lives. Continue to minister your spirit in a deeper way within them and within all of us here today. We need more of you, more of your guidance, more of your protection. Keep us growing in our faith. And as we come into things, Lord, this too shall pass into greener pastures, into better sailing, calmer waters, bluer skies, whatever that might mean. But we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.